often allowed to collect a few pennies in donations from some of the other tradesmen his master bought supplies from. These donations were called a Christmas box. One of William's deliveries was a pair of boots to the local blacksmith, who paid William the shilling he owed Mr. Nichols for the boots. Then he asked,
"What would you like for your Christmas box, lad? Will it be a sixpence or a shilling?"
William could hardly believe his luck. A shilling was a lot of money, enough to buy the new quill pen he'd had his eye on for weeks.
"The shilling, thank you, sir," he replied quickly, before the blacksmith had a chance to change his mind.
The blacksmith chuckled to himself as he handed over the coin, and soon William was out in the snow heading for the store to buy the quill pen. Inside the store, William pulled from his pocket the shilling he'd been given and handed it to the storekeeper. The storekeeper frowned as he turned it over in his hand.
"This here is not a silver shilling, lad," he said sternly. "It's made of brass, if ever coin was. You weren't trying to get the better of me, were you?"
The storekeeper peered down at William. William could feel his face going red. The blacksmith had played a trick on him and given him a counterfeit coin. No wonder he had been chuckling to himself as he handed it over. The wonderful quill pen sat so temptingly on the shelf, and William had set his heart on using it that evening. In an instant, he knew just what to do. The blacksmith had given him 2 shillings, one to pay for the boots and one for himself. So why not swap the 2 coins? Who would know? Quickly, William took back the brass coin and reached into Mr. Nichols's pouch to find the silver shilling. Within a minute, it was done. The brass shilling was back in the pouch, and William was holding the quill pen he'd wanted so badly. All the way back to the workshop, William went over his act. He would look Mr. Nichols right in the eye and smile as he gave him the money pouch. If Mr. Nichols noticed the brass shilling straight away, William would run over to him and stare at it in wide-eyed amazement. Then he would begin stammering an apology for not noticing the counterfeit coin sooner, and promise to look more carefully at every coin given to him in the future. By the time William stepped through the door, he was sure everything would go just fine. Mr. Nichols was standing at his workbench with hammer in hand, tacking the leather sole onto a boot. He put the hammer down as William came through the door, letting in a blast of cold air behind him.
"The blacksmith and the rector both paid in full," said William, matter of fact.